Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy given to us every day, Thy daily faithfulness, early in the morning, all day long, all night long. We know that Thy eye is upon us for good, that it is in Thy mind and heart to help us. We thank Thee for it. We pray now as we study that Thou wilt show us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In the Sermon on the Mount, we come in the fifth chapter of Matthew to the main idea in the 17th to the 20th verses. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, you will find emphasis put on what it seems to me is the key thought in this whole discussion. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here we have a definite emphasis upon the kind of righteousness that marks our lives, with a requirement for a better righteousness than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You will remember that the scribes were the people who were scholars of Scripture, scholars of the Bible, interpreters of the Bible. They were the people who could tell you what the Bible said and what the various passages of the Bible were and where they were found. They were the people who were acquainted with and were informed about the opinions of authors about the Bible. They were the scribes. They were the students. They were the scholars. Now, what would be the righteousness of the scribes? Would that not be a kind of book learning, as we say? It would be the kind of thing that you would write out on paper. It would be the sort of thing that would be held up before people the way you would argue it out in an academic fashion. The scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, you will remember, were people who emphasized outward conformity to the actual regulations of the Bible. They went by Scripture in the letter of the word. And they insisted that people keep it just to the letter of the word. Their problem was, how can I do exactly what I'm supposed to do? And they laid emphasis upon the external conduct of a man. Exactly what am I supposed to do? For instance, if you were not supposed to do any kind of work for profit or for pleasure on the Sabbath day, the question came up, when is the Sabbath day? So they had it from sunrise until sunset. All right, then anything before that wouldn't count, and anything after that wouldn't count. And then there would be the matter of, well, what would be done for profit, or what would be done for pleasure? And they would have a time of discussing that, and so on. Now, these Pharisees were people who made a great show of outward conformity. And these things were good. There is a real righteousness of this sort. Good, but not good enough. And this is the main thrust of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in his whole Sermon on the Mount. He is preaching to the people who will come and listen to him. He is preaching to people who are interested in the matter of being right in the presence of God. And in the day and time in which he was there, there were people who had opinions on it. They knew what everybody else said. Those were the scribes. And there were people that had certain practices, certain routine practices that they followed, a regular way of doing things. They were the Pharisees. And they went by that, and when they had these external things done, then they felt it was all right. And the Lord Jesus was pointing out to them, that isn't really it. It isn't outwardly so much what my conduct looks like. It is inwardly what I actually have in mind about it. And so the Lord Jesus is saying here, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, because he himself made such demands upon people with reference to their attitude to God, and such promises he gave them if they would turn to God, that a good many people wondered whether he was just sweeping all regulations aside. No. And he says, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And he goes on to say that anybody who weakens the scriptures as they read and weakens the Bible as it is written actually is least in the kingdom of heaven. So far as God is concerned, he's displeased with that kind of thing. The person who teaches what the Bible says and teaches what the requirements of outward righteousness would be is actually going to be great. But you're to go on from there. In other words, you're to fulfill that. You see, the Lord Jesus is saying here, I have not come to put away the law. For me, whenever I think about the law, I can always keep it in mind when I remember what I call the law of the harvest. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, now that's the law. And the Lord Jesus didn't mean to say anything that would change that. You know, sometimes people imagine that that's what we mean. For instance, we say that even though a man has sinned, he can be forgiven. So we'll say, well, that this man's done wrong, but he's going to be forgiven. Yes. Even though he has done wrong and sinned, he's not going to hell, he's going to heaven. Yes. Well, then they're inclined to think, well, he didn't sow what he reaped. He reaped evil, he sowed evil, and yet he reaps blessedness. But the point is that in that such a statement as that, something's being forgotten. The evil that he would follow what he sowed actually comes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the righteousness which he gets actually comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing about the gospel is that it recognizes whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, there'll be a consequence to every act that I perform. But what the gospel brings out is that Christ Jesus will bear the consequence. And just in the same way, there's a consequence for his righteousness. When he does what's right, God will bless. So he does what's right and shares the blessing with me. But this doesn't violate this basic law. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Or he said he didn't come to put away the law or the prophets. The prophets say repent. And that is to judge yourself as unworthy. People could say like this, well, if I'm going to be forgiven anyway, it doesn't make any difference about me. That's not what the Lord Jesus said. And if a man were to teach that way, he'd call him the least in the kingdom of heaven. The point is that the Lord Jesus is emphasizing something that goes beyond negative rules and negative requirements. It's true you shouldn't do wrong, but the truth is you should do right. Let's put it like this in an actual illustration. We will say that you shouldn't steal from anybody. That's right. Thou shalt not steal. That's right. Well, now, is that satisfactory to God with reference to property, that I just not steal? No, God is not fully satisfied until I give. Not only is it true that I shouldn't steal the other man's property, it is further true I should share with him if he is in need and I have it to give. So with reference to another one, as we shall see, for example, the Bible will say and the law of God will say, thou shalt not kill. Well, is God himself actually satisfied if I just don't kill people? Isn't it true that the Lord God wouldn't really be satisfied until I worked to save people? And you can go down the list like that. For instance, if the scriptures tell me I'm not to bear false witness, I'm not supposed to lie. All right, so I shouldn't lie because lying is wrong. Is that all? No, I should tell the truth. That's the other side of it. And the Lord Jesus came in emphasizing this kind of thing. Your righteousness is to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he gives an illustration right following this that you can see in verses 21 to 26. He takes up this very case of thou shalt not kill. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, actually, that was the meaning of the Old Testament statement. When the Old Testament said, thou shalt not kill, it didn't just mean that you just stopped there. You wouldn't kill anybody. It actually meant that if you hated him, you were wrong. If you had in your mind anything against him, you'd be wrong. And so the Lord Jesus, in emphasizing this, mirrors in this statement. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest thy brother hath aught against thee, leave therefore thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. That's part of the true meaning of thou shalt not kill. In other words, thou shalt not kill, the Pharisee would say, don't kill anybody. All right. The scribe would tell you what all the rabbis had ever said about that. The Lord Jesus is saying to you, when the scripture says in the law of Moses, thou shalt not kill, it actually means you are in your heart not to have such a negative attitude toward anybody as would wish them harm or do them harm. You are in yourself inwardly, actually, to avoid any kind of contention with your brother. Agree with an adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. And then he goes on to say, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer, thou be cast into prison, and so on. The big point is, don't continue fussing with people. Don't carry on quarrels. Because the man who carries on quarrel with anybody is actually fostering in himself the disposition to kill the other man. He may not physically ever do it, but he may have it in his mind to do it. And John is very plain in 1 John. He says that if any man hate his brother, he's a murderer. That's the idea. And this is what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. He is saying not only that you should keep the rules, you should keep them, but you should go beyond the rules and you should do that which is right. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand these things and bless us in thinking about them. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.